So I'm joined in studio here now by Richard Satchwell. Richard, of course, is the husband of missing local lady, Tina Satchwell. And he's popped in to have a chat with me. Richard, how are you doing?
Grand, thank you.
Good. Apart from the weather, it's fairly shocking today, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't mind the weather if Tina was here.
Yeah. I suppose, can we go back to the beginning, yourself and Tina, go back to when you met, and how long ago was that? That's going back a few years, is it?
That's going back 29 years on the 3rd of March.
29
year.
Years?
Yeah.
That's a long time, isn't it?
It is.
And you met in the UK, is it?
We did.
And you fell in love and you got married. You lived in the UK for a while, yeah?
Well, you met Tina on the 3rd of March, 89. Okay. And I moved over here on the 19th of June, 89.
Okay. So you moved fairly fast.
Yeah.
To... Was there any particular reason you moved to Ireland?
Well, Tina was coming back. And I told my brother within seconds of seeing her that one day I'd marry her.
Really?
So
was that instantaneous?
That was before I even spoke to her.
Without even speaking to her? You said to your brother,
yeah,
I'm going to marry that woman?
Yeah.
What's your brother say?
Like I suppose most brothers, just had a good old giggle.
Right, okay. So it was really love at first sight?
It was for me.
Yeah. And so you moved, you got married, or you moved to Ireland before you got married, is it?
We did.
Okay. And like work and everything brought you to Ireland?
Well, no, for a start I wasn't working because Ireland was in a recession actually when I moved over
here.
So it was really just what I felt for Tina that brought me over here.
Okay.
I uprooted.
Because you knew she had family here, is it?
It wouldn't have bothered me if she didn't.
Okay.
You know, I've got a big family of my own in the UK, which in the 29 years I haven't said, I say 200 words to.
Really?
Because I made my choice to come here.
And were your family upset the fact that you upscuttled everything and moved to Ireland?
They weren't upset over me moving to Ireland. They was upset of my choice of going out with Tia.
And for what reason?
Well,
sure,
they're pretty much anti-Irish. So.
All right, okay. So you move back here, you move over here, the romance blossoms, you get serious with each other. You get married when?
We got married on Tina's 20th birthday, which was the 30th of November, 91.
Okay. So that was a nice birthday present to get, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And did members of your family attend that?
No.
So there was just Tina's family?
There was members of Tina's family there, yeah.
But that's all that mattered to you, was it?
Yeah, that's... The only person mattered to me was the person I married.
Okay. And so you got married in 91, so you're married now 27 years, is
26
it?
26 years.
26,
yeah.
It would be 27 in November.
Definitely.
And, like, things are going good?
Yeah.
Apart from the current situation, but yeah, up to that, things were going
then,
good?
Yeah, everything was grand. We did the usual stuff that we did all the time. On the Sunday down to car boots, during the week around the country to different charity shops.
Okay.
Everything was...
Did you have your love of car boot sales before you met independently, or was it something you decided
It's something
to
we...
Nurtured yourselves?
We, yeah,
as a couple.
We got into as a couple, yeah.
And what do you get out of car boot sales? Like, is it meeting people? Is it selling stuff and trading? Or?
We originally only went buying, and then we started selling off stuff that Tina didn't want anymore.
Okay.
And then, like, people tend to gravitate to us, so people actually ended up looking forward to us going, and if we didn't turn up, they'd miss us.
Okay.
You know?
Right. And you were regular contributors and regular attendees at car boot sales all over Cork or all over?
Around Cork, Castletown Roads, Riff Cormac.
Okay.
Carrytool, Blarney.
Okay. And I suppose it was a day out on a Sunday, yeah?
It was a day out. I used to stay at the car and I used to do the selling, and Tina would go around and she'd be buying stuff.
Okay.
You know.
And you'd be filling the boot on the way home?
Yeah.
Okay. And I suppose move forward into the last 3, 4, 5 years. Did you start having issues or problems then in the last
In a relationship, I would say we've never really had any more than, say, a short fuse or something going off.
Normal,
you know, your
issues.
Normal kind of relationship stuff.
You mentioned on a previous interview that, was it last year you had to take some time out? Was that last year?
I took time out in 2002.
And was that your personal issues, or was it relationship issues, or what was it?
I went self-employed, and I got myself in trouble.
Financially?
Financially, and we sat down, we talked, I went over to the UK, got a job, and saved up money, as well as sending money back here for Tina.
Okay.
I came back and sorted out troubles.
But I suppose the interesting point there that you made, and you stressed, even though you were away in the UK, you were in regular contact with Tina.
Yeah.
And
we still talk virtually every day.
Okay, and that was important to you?
Always.
And it was important to Tina?
Yeah.
And, like, what would you talk about if when you're in the UK? Like, was it just that, did Tina realise then that this was just a temporary time apart, or did she?
She knew. We sat down, and Sheeman came over to the UK with me while I sorted somewhere to live and, you know, basically sorted stuff out. Then we came back. I brought Tina back into Fermoy, and then I went again over to the UK, knowing that Tina was back here in Ireland safe.
Okay. So you were married, you decided to go into your own business, you got into financial difficulties. The only way out of this was to go to the UK, secure employment. Tina came over and supported you, and once she saw you were happy and making money, you both came back to Fermoy, because of course at that time you lived in Fermoy.
I was living in Fermoy, yeah.
And then once Tina was settled back in Fermoy, you went back over to the UK. Was that still termed as a separation agreement, or was it, you know, were you still man and wife?
We were still man and wife.
Okay.
We still remain faithful to one another.
Yeah.
And if we don't like it.
Okay. So then you decided to come back. I suppose you had seen the best of the other side, and you decided to come back. And was there a patching up process with Tina, or did you just move back?
We was talking every day virtually on the phone. Tina came over to me during the year to the UK, and basically after the year I came back, paid off debts and stuff, and went back to being normal.
Okay. As normal relationships do.
Yeah.
After. And did you find, when you came back, did you find that, you know, the old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, did it help your relationship in any way?
Well, our relationship was never in any doubt.
Issues, right.
Because if Tina had said to me, look, okay, we'll do it the other way, I would have stayed and faced the troubles head on.
So she was supportive to you at that time. She realised you were in financial problems. And I suppose, really, if you were in financial problems or difficulties, so was she as your wife.
Yeah.
So you were a unit. So then you come back and everything is going well. When did you become concerned about her depression issues, or when did that happen or begin to nurture?
Well, like I say, there's a lot of stuff that I won't go into.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which I know Tina wouldn't want me to. I know, and I've been asked by Tina's family not to.
Yeah.
But there's been stuff that over really a 12-year period, but the depression really hit 4 years ago in 2012.
So 2012, you did you notice a change in Tina's behaviour or in her habits or her attitudes?
Behaviour and attitude.
Behaviour and attitude towards yourself or towards life in general?
Life in general, as well in some cases with myself.
Okay. And did that worry you?
As time went on and it got more severe, I did sit down and talk to her about it.
Okay.
And she said, oh, I'll be fine, so, you know.
Did she believe that you could help her out of this issue?
Well, we was, as regards all the talking and everything, that remained the same until probably 6 or 7 months before she went away.
Okay.
It was only during the last 6 or 7 months we still talk, but instead of, say, talking until 2 or 3 in the morning, it'd be say 10, 11 o'clock at night, and then it'd be to bed.
Okay.
You know, that way on. But, you know, it's at times you're there and you're living your life and you're happy and you're in yourself. And I suppose you grow ignorant to certain things that could be happening around you.
Did it become a normal part of your married life?
Well, I suppose in some ways it did. Because over time you get used to stuff. Was wrapped up, like I said, going to car boot sales, going out with the dogs, you know.
Okay. And, like you said, you know, you noticed the difference. I suppose going back to 2012, 2013, did you ever see this coming in the distance? Did you sit down and you discussed, and she has clearly made it clear to you that she asked you never to put her on antidepressants, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. But that was something that goes back to when we first met as well, so that is nothing that's recent. That's always okay. Been.
So she's had issues as long ago as when you met?
No, it's only, like I said, any depression or side of things that I spotted actually only started coming in 2012.
Okay.
Because of stuff that happened in that year.
Okay. And was that, without going into detail, obviously, because I respect your wishes not to discuss it, was that something that just happened in 2012 and was dealt with in her way and your way and is no longer an issue, or is that still an ongoing issue?
Well, I can only speak for myself. I can't really speak for her. And what happened, yeah, it affected me in some respects, but there is absolutely no way it affect me in the same categories as what it would herself.
So do you think she was weaker than you?
Oh no, she's way stronger than me.
Yeah, you said that, and
she's,
that's fascinating.
She's way, way, way stronger than me.
So do you think she'd be able to deal with these issues better than you?
Well, she's a much stronger personality than what I am.
Okay.
It's like I'm doing these interviews now and I'm like a fish out of water.
Okay.
Yeah, with me, like you see, I just turn up. If Tina was doing an interview now, she'd be in the bath at 2 o'clock this morning.
Makeup, hair, she's clothes.
See, that's
but
Tina.
I suppose that's
Tina. Tina's, you know, she's a gorgeous-looking woman, and she's just loves fashion and glamour.
Well, I suppose that's a pretty normal thing for a lady to be doing anyways. They like their style, they like their appearance.
Yeah.
And you see ladies on TV, they love to be looking well on TV. They're constantly in front of a mirror. So you couldn't see an issue there.
I've had people from members of press ring me up after seeing a photo that was in one of the newspapers and where Tina's got a few tags coming off stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should have got her help, because obviously that's a sign of depression and everything. And anybody can speak to any member of Tina's family, and I say most of the people around for my. Tina's been like that since way before I ever met her. She's always been.
I suppose, do you think that if the roles were reversed here, if Tina was out looking for you, would she deal with the consequences of the situation different to you, do you think? Would she be able to cope better, or what way do you think she'd deal with it?
With me, I take stuff to heart.
Okay.
Like, I know this week it's been in newspapers and newspapers have spoken to me and they have not.
Okay.
So just simply from the beginning, like, I've had paper sales talking to them and stuff like that, and I don't like that, so I don't talk to newspapers.
Okay.
With Tina now, it'd be like water over duck's back. In that respect, it'd be...
She just take it and move on to the next...
You see, but, like, at the same time, and Tina's stronger than me, people can say stuff behind my back and call me names, I'll walk on.
Okay.
Tina wouldn't.
She'd confront.
Tina would confront.
Does it ever worry you that because of her strong personality in a disturbing way, it may have been her downfall?
Well, I said it on Tuesday night on prime time and everything. I personally pity anybody who tried to harm her.
Okay.
Whether they got the better of her or not, there's absolutely no way that anybody'd lay a finger near Tina without walking away with some physical damage.
And have you ever been at the receiving end of her anger, physically?
Tell me a man that hasn't.
Okay, so you have had your skirmishes. But you've never hit her back, have you?
Never, never would.
Okay. And, like, I suppose, you know, it's a pity that, you know, one so strong and so obviously vivacious and full of the joys of life. She loves her animals, she loves her life, she loves her style. It's a pity that, you know, the situation has come to this. Hand in heart, do you think she's still alive?
I have to. I know that if I start thinking the other way and I let it get into my head,
okay,
well, I know I'll just go completely downhill. And say she come back and I'm all the way down on the floor, it's going to be no good for her. So I try not to think that way. Obviously, it is stuff that does enter your head. And myself and members of Tina's family have actually had that conversation, obviously. But each and every one of us that I speak to, including people who know us, Tina's best friend on Monday and everything, we know we're all there believing that she's still out there.
Mm-hmm. Does that become, you know, an essential part of survival, or is it something that you honestly believe that she will walk back in the door?
Well, that's a tough one, because I hope she walks back through the door, but then hope is wishful thinking.
Okay.
If I haven't got hope, I haven't got anything, so.
So it's more you hope that she's still alive than you believe she's still alive?
Well, I say honestly, it's a mixture of both. Okay. I'd say it's 50-50.
And if she walked back in the door this evening, what would happen? Would you open out your arms? Would you be angry with her? Would you be cross at her? Would you be disappointed with her?
My arms would go around her, and then I think I'd just collapse on the floor with relief.
Okay. Because it has been, we're fast approaching the 12-month anniversary of her disappearance. That must be a particularly trying time for you as we look down the neck of that, is it?
It's been a trying time for me since day one.
Okay. And, like, everyone is saying, you know, with the anniversary coming up and the press are saying it, the media are saying it, everyone's reporting about it, talking about it. That doesn't affect you, does it? Does it, like, every day is the same to you at this stage, is it?
I live in a void.
Okay. Do you wake up and say, there's another month gone now, Tina isn't back?
I wake up every morning, and every morning I wake up just hoping that the door will go and it'll be her. Every morning. I'm not a religious man, I do not go to church, but in recent months I have started praying in the evenings.
Okay.
You know.
You pray yourself at home, is
yeah.
it? What do you say to people, and I'm sure you know there are people in the area here and in general who may, for rightly or wrongly, doubt everything you say?
I would say go and talk to people who know us.
Okay.
That's what I say. It's easy for people who don't know us, know me, know Tina, that they draw conclusions.
Okay.
I've had it from people from press, radio and everything asking about Tina, trying to criticise Tina, trying to get me to cut Tina down. Well, it'll never happen.
And criticise Tina in what way?
Well, like I say, I don't go into that, I don't repeat.
Okay,
but
yeah.
You know the type of questions you can be asked. So I say no, I live in hope. I will not cut Tina down in any way, shape or form.
And the issues, and again I appreciate and I respect totally your reluctance to discuss them, but do you believe, had you your time back again, that maybe antidepressants would have resolved these issues, or was it gone beyond that?
If I could turn the clock back and live in hindsight what I know now, I think that stuff that would have altered is, like, I think Tina always wanted to live in York, so I can't really put that one down.
Okay.
But I think we would have give more thought before we moved.
Okay. Do you think she was unhappy here, or?
I don't know, because, like, I was doing work on the house. Tina would go out during the day. She'd take a walk up along the boardwalk with Ruby. She'd sit on the bench next to the lighthouse.
Okay.
With a small flask of tea that I made, and she'd be listening to music there. She'd come back. She might, on occasion, she'd say, oh, I met this person and that person. You know, just general stuff.
And you repeatedly referred to Tina's best friend. Is Tina's best friend living in Fermoy or York?
She lives just outside Fermoy.
Outside Fermoy. And she's been a friend of Tina's all her life, is it?
Tina confides in her pretty much the same as what she would in me. And I did not find that out myself, which Tina confided in her until Monday.
You only found out on Monday?
Yeah, I only found out.
And how would that? How would you explain that, that Tina had a best friend, a soulmate, I suppose, and you only found out on Monday? How does that happen?
No, don't get me wrong. I've known about the best friend.
Okay, you've only found out some of the things. Yeah.
I've often talked to her best friend over the years when I've met her in the town and stuff.
But you didn't realise how much?
I didn't realise just how close, I suppose, they are.
Okay, right. You visited the search site yesterday. Were you asked to do that, or was that something you asked to do yourself of your own free will?
I was...
Because I'm sorry, no, but the reason I ask you that is I looked at social media and people were saying that, you know, people were saying stuff like, you love the sound of your own voice, that it's all staged. Like, did you just turn up there, or were you...
I was asked to go.
By the press?
Yeah.
Okay, and so it was more or less...
It was the way it was put to me, that basically the way I'm doing stuff and that, you know, people might pick up the fact I don't care when I do.
Okay.
So I drove down, I did the interview there yesterday. And it's not the fact that I like the sound of my own voice. I have turned hundreds of interviews down.
Okay. And, well, I'm just saying, you know, on social media, which we've discussed off air, like, people are, you know, they're entitled to their opinions as well, rightly or wrongly.
Well, you see, rightly or wrongly, if I'm not talking, I'm doing wrong. If I'm talking, I'm doing wrong.
Okay. So. Did you feel a sense of hopelessness being at the gate, at the entrance to the search site? Did you feel you wanted to get in there and get down and dirty in the system?
I would actually love to be in there helping the guards.
Have you asked them to let you help them?
I'm in constant contact with the guards, and I've not asked them because I know what the answer will be.
Okay. Well, it's a sterile environment in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen it. I was there last week at the press conference. How do you survive on a daily basis when you wake up in the morning? Obviously, Tina's first thing in your mind, like... Do you pray to get through each day, or each week, or each month, or what's your situation?
I kind of exist day to day.
Okay.
Every day is different. There's days I can get up, sit down on the couch with the two dogs in my arms, and just stay there all day and not move.
Okay. And you recently sold your car, did you?
I did.
And was that for any particular reason? Had it done its service?
Well, I bought it cheap, I had enough years out of it, and due to basically the amount of publicity, my car was as well known as what I and Tina is.
So you felt it necessary to...
I felt it was a necessary thing.
Was your car being targeted?
Well, it wasn't being targeted, but it was being followed.
Okay.
So
you decided to...
So I decided, like... time to change.
I suppose, you know, I appreciate your love for Tina and your undying love and undying faith to her. The next question is probably very difficult, but, you know, I'd ask you to answer it as honestly as you can. If Tina is alive, right, and you say she is, you believe she is, and she listens to any of the interviews, the passionate interviews that you give, do you feel angry that she's letting you suffer like this towards her?
That's a question now that, no, I don't feel angry, but I'm disappointed.
You're disappointed in Tina?
In the fact that, not just Tina, that is, obviously people out there that have seen her. I believe somebody obviously had to have helped her from the house.
Do you believe that?
I do. And anybody, even the slightest bit of information that could put some minds at rest, I think personally they should be ashamed of themselves or not.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I understand it, everything and everybody who goes through the Garda are...
Okay. And how do you... Do you want to take that? Just...
Hello?
Richard?
Yeah, hi, Paddy.
Ready to go, all right?
Yeah, I'll be up in a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Paddy. Thanks, right.
Okay, sorry about that. So you feel disappointed in Tina, and you're convinced that someone helped her?
I trust the guards 100%.
Okay.
And they've after informing me that they've checked all public transport.
All CCTV.
And they've come up with nothing.
Okay.
If a car picked Tina up outside our house, there's no CCTV there to pick it up.
Okay.
So, I've always said it. People in Tina's family that have been very supportive to me have basically said the same thing. And we all know that it would have to be somebody that Tina would trust. It wouldn't be just somebody she met last week, the week before. It'd be somebody she would have had to know for a long time.
Apart from her best friend in Fermoy, or just outside Fermoy, did she have any male friends that she was close with or close to or got on with? You know, we all have... I have female friends.
Well, she talks to everybody in Fermoy.
Okay.
Male and female. Like... We have a mutual friend. He was hers first.
Okay.
He's a very good friend to me. Tina actually grew up around the corner with his wife.
Okay. And so she still speaks to him and gets on with him and...
Well, the day before she went missing, she told him that she loved me and that she'd never do anything to hurt me.
Okay. Right. And I appreciate your time coming in. You obviously, with the anniversary coming up, which you've obviously said clearly that, you know, every day is the same to you. I suppose it's a silly question, but you still believe she's alive. You still think that she's going to walk in the door. What will happen if the worst case scenario happens and she's found having passed?
I'll be no good. I'll be no more good to nobody or nothing.
Would you want to know what happened, though?
Obviously.
Okay. Would you continue on in her memory?
Ask me that one if it happens.
But you don't believe it would?
Well, I keep saying it. If I haven't got hope, I won't last the next 6 months. I won't last the next week.
Has it ever gone so bad that you would actually believe in doing something to yourself?
Well, that's not something funny.
Okay, because you mentioned it just that your Tina's niece rang you. How important is Tina's family support to you?
Well, I say if I didn't have it, I'd be not able to even walk down to do this interview today.
Are your family aware of the present situation?
They are.
Have they been supportive to you?
It's still the same as what it was, other than the fact that I spoke to my father before Christmas for the first time in a long time.
Okay. Did that mean something to you?
Well, it was something.
Okay.
Because like I said, it's been a long time since we did speak.
Richard, thanks for popping in. I just have one more question for you. I'm not going to ask you like other journalists, did you harm Tina? Because I know you didn't, and you said you didn't, and I believe it, right? You said, you know, you've addressed the question about people that have doubts about what you say, and I take it on board. If you don't say anything, you're guilty. If you do say something, you're guilty. You were asked before about a lie detector test. Would you be willing to take a lie detector test?
I have answered that question time and time again. At the moment, I'm on medication. When that medication finishes,
okay,
then yes.
Which will be
when I'm up enough not to try to commit suicide.
Okay. And you're under medical care at the moment for that? Okay. Anything in one sentence, anything you want to say to our listeners that are listening, you know, a plea, a passion?
I just ask anybody. I know we wasn't in Yaw long before she went away, but we used to come down to Yaw 2 and 3 days every single week.
Okay.
Anybody who might, even if they only think they've seen her, to come forward.
Okay.
I know that after doing TV3 yesterday, I was put in touch with a guy who said that he's spoken to Tina in January of this year.
Okay.
I had two witnesses with the meeting from TV3, and instantly the information was handed over to the Gardaí when I got it, and they at this present time investigating.
Does that give you hope?
I tell you now, when I was asked yesterday in TV3 by the producer that there was a guy there who's after travelling in, especially once he seen that I was going to be on the show yesterday, that he travelled in and he wanted to talk. Before I spoke to him, I actually went out to the car and rang the guards and asked, should I talk to him? So I spoke to him, but the guards asked me to make sure that I got his contact details.
Okay.
So that they themselves could get in touch with him, which I did. I handed the information over, and within the hour, the guards from Middleton was on the phone to him, and they are at this time currently
investigating. They're following that line of inquiry.
Yes. The information I got from himself and the description did give me hope. It's like winning the lottery but being told you can't collect it.
And this was in January of the show?
He's actually seen, or actually, according to himself, physically spoken to her. And just over a week later, he was watching Prime Time, the Prime Time programme that we did, and he turned around and said, Jesus, that's that woman I was talking to.
Okay.
And he said that he did actually contact Angada Shikana, and they did return his call, but at that time, he was still waiting on the interview.
Okay. But now they've taken it on board.
But now they've taken it on board, and they're at this time investigating it. So,
would you consider going up there to look yourself?
The gentleman in question gave me his name and his telephone number, but he would not give me his address. He said he'd give that to the guards, which obviously he has.
So you'd rather leave the guards to deal with
it? I know Tina, I know my wife. As regards going trying to investigate something myself, you know,
that's their job.
That's their job, and if I tried it, I'd probably just muck it up.
Okay. Richard, thanks for coming in. Thanks for attending this. And again, we'll ask our listeners, the public in general, if there is anything at all, no matter how small you think it is, please contact the Garda Síochána and leave them decide how trivial or how small it is.
Well, it's the same with the search that's going on here in Mitchell's Wood. That actually came from the Prime Time programme, which went out in January, which is like 10 months after she went away, and it has produced something credible. So there's no time lapse in it. Any small bit of information could end up being crucial.
And from your discussions with the guards, like, are you confident or conscious that they're going to see this through to the end, no matter what, or are they going to call it off, or what's going to happen?
I have full trust in the guards, and I believe they'll follow it through until the conclusion.
Okay, so they're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Richard Satchwell, I thank you for coming in, and all we can do is keep you in our thoughts and our prayers, and we hope that this will come to a successful and happy conclusion for everyone concerned.
That's what I pray for every day.